This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Welcome to the Tackling Life podcast with the great Ray Lewis and me, Dr. Christian Conti. It's a success podcast that tackles life through the lessons of sports. Hey, how about those games yesterday?
Doc, let me tell you something. I sat there, man, and I think, you know, like the essence of football, like, oh my gosh, like me watching it, you know, from everybody else watching, it's like night and day, right? Because I'm like, I'm into every decision, every thought, every play. And it's crazy because I'm driving myself crazy, right? I'm watching this, I'm watching this Dallas Green Bay game. And I'm watching this young kid, Dak Prescott, man, just grow up in front of us. But I'm watching this legend. I'm watching this legend in Aaron Rodgers, right? And so you watching this, and I'm trying to explain to people like how the game is all about chess. It's you know, a lot of like every decision in those games, I think people, we don't think about how crucial every decision is in those games. And so for me, I have to calm down because I'm trying to think through every one of them. But man, I thought they were some of the most exciting games I've seen in a while.
Oh, it was. That Dallas Green Bay game was one of the most exciting games in recent memory. That throw that Rodgers made at the end, running to his left, throwing back to his right, that was just it was perfect. But it got me thinking.
See, but that's
good.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
But it got me thinking, like, of how much, like, you do see it differently, right? So you would know defending wise, and Rodgers has to be one of the toughest people to defend because of his getting outside the pocket.
Yeah, see, and that's for me. That's why I say for me, I don't say like, oh my gosh, that throw is incredible. I was like, wow, Rodgers doing what he does. Like that's, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what it is. But look. So before we go to that throw, let me tell you something. And I try to explain people this all the time. The game is simply taught this way. Players make plays. Coaches make decisions, but decisions determine outcomes of games. Let me tell you what I'm telling you, Doc. When you go away from what the game naturally gives you, there's a second down and one. Ezekiel Elliott goes for 9 yards. They're losing by 14 points at the time. I think it was 28-17, something like this, right? They come out on second down and one. This is at the end of the third quarter. I want you to remember this because this was crucial for the game. They come out the end of the third quarter, second down and one, and they throw the ball. And the guy intercepts the ball.
Yes.
But now I want you to remember something. That block of time took 6.5 minutes off of the play clock. Remember right, that 6.5 minutes, because if you come out of that series and do nothing else but get 3 points out of that series, instead of Green Bay kicking the three to win, Green Bay would have been kicking the three to possibly tie you up to go into overtime.
Right.
So it's, oh my gosh, bro. It was so crucial when I'm watching this, and I kept telling people, I say, remember that play. Because that play, even though you come back and tie up the game at the end of the game, it's what happens in the moments of those games. That's what makes Brady so doggone good. That's what makes Rodgers so doggone good, is that you leave them just that little block of time that if you thought about what happened on that play, man, I just thought it changed the whole outcome of the game. I mean, outside of it being an amazing, amazing game, yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. It is, and it's the little decisions that matter. It's the little decisions that make the big difference in the end. When Rodgers caught them off guard at the very beginning of the game, when they caught, he counted, he does his thing where he calls, hurries up, gets everybody to the line, and gets them with too many men on the field. I couldn't believe that he got them again. I know Dallas coaches were going out of their mind that they did that.
Yeah, you know what? I was really shocked that Ron Marinelli stayed with that type of package against Green Bay, understanding that Montgomery is a wide receiver. He's not a running back. So you would have to adjust to that before you got to that game. So for them to put regular personnel to keep their base and regular personnel on the field, that really confused me. And then what confused me the most is you kept regular on the field, but you put them in man-to-mans. So why would you give Aaron Rodgers one-on-ones, right? And so as you see in the third and fourth quarter, they went to more zone. They changed it, and they went to more of a two-deep safety plan instead of one-on-ones. I didn't understand why Dallas gave him that many one-on-ones. It's certain things you can't do with Tom Brady, certain things you can't do with Aaron Rodgers, certain things you can't do with Drew Brees. And those are the players that you cannot give one-on-ones to, because if you give one-on-ones to, the game is too easy for them. The game is way too easy for them. Yeah, like once they figure that out. And then when he changed and went to a two deep coverage, everything started to slow down. The ball started to be caught in front of them, rally up, make the tackle, get off the field. Right? But and I just think I think they gave them too big of a lead. And then they had to do too much to make that run.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's for sure. When you're out there, when you're playing against somebody like Rodgers, and you know that it's a chess match, can you talk a little bit about that? Because that's something that I would like to learn about, that you uniquely see that chess match. So what are you thinking? Like when Rodgers, I mean, if you could take defensive mindset.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I think this is where it becomes crucial to have a student of the game on the field as well, and instead of just a bunch of players who just line up and play the defense that's called. So if I'm looking at Montgomery and weeks before we're playing them, the first thing I'm saying is, listen, we cannot be in a base package when we play against these guys. So Rex, whoever my defensive coordinator at the time, I would go to them and say, listen, we have to have a check. So if he motions from the backfield, instead of staying in a man, if we're in a man blitz, then we're going to audible and go to a possibly cover two. So when anytime he would motion out, I would probably wave my hands in the air to now get out of that defense. And this will not come from the sideline. This will come from a judgment call from me saying, no, I know Aaron and I know what he's going to try to get me in, which is a one-on-one backers against, like you got Sean Lee. One-on-one, right? And right. Against, you don't want to be one-on-one against speedy receivers, speedy tight ends all the way down the field. Right. So you would check, so you zone that. After you zone that, then you put 2D safeties. So they should have had a check in, but the check has to come from the player that's on the field. The coach can't call that. And when you start watching football, that's where you see the lack of, like true leaders who understand the defense as well as defensive coordinators. Mm. And so me and Aaron would have had a whole chess match the entire night, because every time he'd done something with Montgomery, I would do something opposite. When he brought 22 in, I would go to a different coverage. So that's where the chess match would have really began between me and Aaron, putting people in the right places. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I always think about, like, what are you thinking as you're watching it? It's being prepared. So I just wonder if they study like you studied. I mean, why is it that the way you studied, the way Peyton studied is legendary, but you just don't hear that from everybody.
Well, I mean, I must be fair to a lot of people. That takes a mindset of telling a coach, I'm going to take what you taught me and I'm going to take it to the next level, which means, I mean, it was the reason why Peyton runs his entire offense. As you see, Aaron runs his entire offense. Drew Brees, Tom Brady does it better than I think anybody in the world, you know, and that's when coaches get to a point. Everybody won't be able to do that though, Doc. Mm. And that's why you see guys just getting the defense from the sideline and just playing, right? Because whatever their job is, they're going to stick to it.
Right.
That takes a different dedication. That takes a going in, meeting with the coordinators and understanding every in and out of every defense. And that's why I think for so many years, why I called most of my defenses after I got to a point, because every one of my coaches was so awesome with trusting me with that. Like I would question every call. Like, no. Why run this against that when I know this is gonna work? And that takes that classroom work. You know, I never forget sitting with Marvin Lewis to understand what every defense meant, to understand why D lineman did this, why linebacker, why do we want to run a zone blitz? Why don't we want to run a cover three, cover one on a guy like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady? Because you give them isolated one-on-ones. Why do you want to go zone? Why you want to go a more of a cover two shell against a Brady or a Manning? Because you want to make them have to work to actually get those balls out. You don't want to give them the big plays downfield. Make them methodically go downfield, and now it changes the game, because now once you start to hit them, keep the ball in front of you, then it kind of becomes harder to just go down the field. So that's why I think students of the game, if I was to challenge younger people in the game, the day that you become a student in the game, you won't override your coach, but you will challenge your coach to trust you when you're on the field, that you know better than them, kind of the beat of the game.
Well, so yeah. it takes that effort, though. And if we tie this in, and we still got a lot more to talk about with games, but if we tie this into life for a minute, even if somebody's not involved with football, you're given the keys to successful leadership. Because if I'm going to be a leader of an organization, I want to be able to give the best leaders are able to give their field generals as much leeway as possible. But you have to have field generals that actually want it, that actually go study it. So I think this applies to every organization as well. When people are, if you want that leadership role, you have to put the study in. You have to put the time.
You got
to
do the extra.
Yeah.
You got to do the extra. It's the extra. And the extra is boring. You won't like it. It's going to be repetitive, and it's going to be the same thing over and over and over and over again. But when you walk into your test, And just like you said, this can be applied, that all of these analyses can be applied to life. When you walk into your test, what you did before your test shows how you will pass that test. And that's why when I stepped on the field, I was more comfortable with anything that I did from that point. Because from that point, Doc, it's just like, man, it's like almost stealing. It's like, okay, really? You're going to run that same play on me that I just saw you run the last 2 weeks back to back. It will not happen. And I think you apply those principles to life, and then it takes you into a totally different realm when you take these tests in life. Yeah.
100%. We're going to keep talking about, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about applying this to leadership.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business, because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
The Tackling Life podcast is now taking your calls. If you have a question or a comment for us, just call 646-762-4432 and leave us a message. We might play it on the show. That's 646-762-4432, or download the Voigo app for iOS or Android. That's VOIGO. And you can leave direct messages for us through your mobile device. Look, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, so we're back. We're talking about the games. I mean, really, really, really exciting day of football all the way around. Obviously, I'm from Pittsburgh, a diehard Steeler fan. That game was, that put me on the edge of my seat for all night. Like, they always take games down to the wire. But there was a lesson that you were talking about, Ray, about studying ahead of time. And I want to ask about a particular a package that the Kansas City kept doing yesterday, which was they would run that Tyreek Hill and they would put him through the back. They would put him in motion real fast, get the defense going that way. And then a couple times they would go right over to the opposite side. And as a fan, even as a fan who doesn't know a lot, I'm like, well, come on now. How many times are you going to fall for that? I think this is the lesson you were talking about, which is if the linebackers were prepared there, they might have said, look, we got to switch cover and not just follow with him.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that you had to pay attention to when you're watching that play is those, I call it a kind of a naked reverse, meaning that there's no substance in front of him, which is there's no lineman in front of him. So on every one of those plays that they faked that ball, the lineman done the opposite, mm-hmm. right? So when you see nobody's going to hand the ball off to a guy with no blocking. Right. And so that's why that play was like kind of a mirage in front of you to try to get you to see something to flash real quick. But everything is actually going the opposite direction. Like if you're sitting in the middle of that, I'm not even paying attention to him per se. I'm paying attention to the guard backside of that. Because the guard backside of that will let me know where that play is going. And as I was reading it, even with James Harrison, he made one of the plays where even the shovel pass kind of came from it. Remember, he ran it was a reverse coming back on the other side. Then he shuffled the ball in. What happens with that is you must read where the meat of everything is. And where I always say the meat is from guard, back. So it's a triangle. If you can look at it from my perspective and you're looking at an offense, there's a triangle, there's a guard, there's a right guard, there's a left guard, and then there's a back behind them. So that's your triangle. So any one of those that pulls or goes that direction, 99% of the time, that's where the play is going.
Wow. I don't care what level you're at. That lesson right there, like, that just gave me the chills to understand that on a different level, because I'll be watching that this week. Let's talk about that game for a minute. Have you ever seen anything like Le'Veon Bell and his running style?
Well, I say this like many a times. You know, if you remember, Marcus Allen, man, had a very unique style of running. You know, they were these tall, slinky backs, like just like Le'Veon Bell. But you know, there was a guy who played for Seattle Seahawks who was very patient like that too, whose name was Curtis Warren. Curtis Warren really, really, really was that patient of a back. You know, Barry was exactly what Le'Veon is doing. Barry did it at a pace that I don't think we'll never see that again. Right. I mean, that's just a totally different style of running. But that's where I think, you know, Le'Veon, if you started to watch Barry's patience, it was his patience that made him such a dominant player, you know, when he was playing the game. I mean, you watch Le'Veon Bell right now, you know, one of the things that people don't understand about the front seven, which is offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, tight ends, is that's where most of your games are won at. And what Le'Veon Bell is doing is he's letting people play so fast. He's saying, you can do all this running and everything, I'm going to find that hole. When I played linebacker, Doc, what I did was I would stay and look for the same hole that he was looking for. That's right. Awesome. So just like a running back would think about it, I would sit back there and say, okay, you pick that hole, I'm going to pick the same one, and I'm going to knock your head off as soon as you come through there. And so that's where I think if you watch linebackers, that's why it's crucial to be on the same page with your defensive lineman.
Right.
When I played with Sam Adams, oh, my gosh, Sam was such a dominant penetrator that he would cut off one side of a play, which means I should not go the same side. So let me understand so people understand that. I should not be caught on the same left side of an offensive play. If Sam goes left, then I'm going to fade back and come back right side. Because 90% of the time, Sam is going to make the running back have to cut back. And when you watch Le'Veon Bell, he's letting the guard dictate that. But the backers, the linebackers, are jumping so far on the same side that he's just taking the back door.
Okay.
And that's what and if I was playing him, that would be one of those plays. I would adopt, honest to God, I will sit backside and say, if he cut back, I'm going to knock him out. And he will never see me coming. He'll never see me coming. So, I mean, it would be, with him again, it would be a chess match playing against him. But I'm going to tell you something about this kid. I watched this kid at Michigan State. This kid is a complete football player. And you appreciate the way he plays the game. Oh, my gosh. Him and Ezekiel Elliott, the football shape that they're in is really appreciated. And I want both of those kids to know that it's appreciated for a person like myself to watch people that not only understand the game, but are in shape enough to play that game at that high of a level, play after play after play after play.
I noticed that about Ezekiel Elliott, the shape he was in like yesterday. It's unreal. It's unreal what they can do.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful because you see they take care of the machine. You know, I always said this, you know, if you watch a person's core, you watch a person's abdominal area, that it'll kind of almost tell you what type of football player, what type of worker you got in front of you. And this kid has always looked like that. I remember when I was at UM, man, University of Miami, I used to always pull my shirt up, you know, because I used to always have these, you know, 12, 14 freaking abs. You know what I'm saying? I got about eight to 10 now. I'm still holding on to them. But
you got my son
got about 18 of them. My gosh. But when people see that, you know, on the other side and you're playing against that, the first thing you say is, ooh, wow.
Yep.
That man in shape. Like he ready to play football. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yep. So those guys. But Le'Veon Bell, man, I'm telling you, last night, to watch his patience over and over, I mean, it's really an exciting thing to watch. Great game, man. I mean, listen, I mean, and this is the hard part about football. There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser.
Right.
Right. And that's every week going up the chain, just like this week. Right. NFC Championship, AFC Championship. Somebody got to go home a winner. And somebody got to go home and lose the doc.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you get to the Super Bowl, and it's only one person that will be crowned.
Right, right. And we're looking at some really good championship games.
Like Green Bay, Atlanta coming up this weekend in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I keep saying this, right? So now you put Atlanta does not have to leave the dome. If they take care of their business, Atlanta does not have to leave the dome. The rest of the playoffs, they play at home and then they go to Houston if they win. And I'm telling you, my nephew Grady Jarrett came from Clemson. Oh my gosh, he's having plays defensive tackles. He's having one of the best seasons I've seen. He's so strong of a kid. But Atlanta's rotation on their defensive line is crucial. I think if you watch Courtney Upshaw, if you watch all of these guys that they're rotating in and really growing up in front of our eyes. And then offensively, I mean, that two-headed monster they had with Freeman and this other kid, 26, and then Julio Jones is just a problem. But I truly think, bro, one of the biggest pickups this offseason for Atlanta was Sanu. To get Sanu for the last few years, he's been in Atlanta, to get him now to grow into that offense with Julio Jones, I think they're going to give Green Bay a lot of problems, man. So I think this is going to be a shootout like early in the season. But this would be a really, really interesting game to watch, as well as Pittsburgh and New England.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think it's going to be a shootout with the Atlanta-Green Bay game. When it comes down to Ben, I mean, he's definitely got to be – I think he's a top – I've always considered him an elite quarterback. Do you put Ben in that category as an elite quarterback?
I put him in the category really high. Like, I don't know how you're going to rate him. But wherever you rate him at, he's in the top whatever.
Yeah.
Man, he's just that guy. He's one of those guys. I mean, listen, like, people will think I'm crazy by saying this, but he was one of the guys I love playing. Like, because I knew what he was going to give me, and he made me take my game to the next level. Right? And it's just the toughness, man. Like, I love people who don't complain. You know, mm-hmm. just play the freaking game. Yeah, you're going to get hit. You know what I'm saying? Get your behind back up. That's what you're supposed to get hit. Don't be looking for no flags and all this mess. Don't be going to the ref. Like, that bothers me so much, because if you're on the schoolyard, there ain't no refs out there, man.
Right.
Ain't no refs out there. You know what I'm saying? You put your best 11 in front of my best 11, and let's see how we get it down. And that's what I think Ben Roethlisberger has always done. And that's why I think, you know, people never realize every game we played him after a few years, man, he would go to the 50-yard line. I would go to the 50-yard line. I would put my hand over my heart. He would put his hand over his heart, and we would both salute each other, because that was the respect that we had for each other, man. And so, man, he's a good friend. He's a really good friend, but I think he's a hell of a competitor, and he's just one of the guys I love watching play the game.
I know. Yeah. It's cool to hear you say that, and that you love playing against him. But it's no surprise to me, because you're such a competitor, and he's such a competitor, so you like the competition. Like, when you're in it, you want to be facing the best, because that's what made you who you are, wanting to face the best.
Bro, that's why I studied so much, Doc. Doc, at 24 years old, my entire life changed, right? No more going out, no more clubs, no more heavy, stupid, silly drinking, no more none of that. You know why? No more partying, no more taking trips during the season, because I was like, man, do you realize what's on the other side? Man, I'm playing against greatness. Like, I'm playing against Peyton. I'm playing against Brady. I'm playing against Breeze. I'm playing against Brett Favre. I'm playing against legends. And I'm saying, I have to do everything in my power to put my defense in the best position come Sundays.
Right.
And so that's why I think, man, you know, if I was to offer a small piece of advice to any young kid playing the game, any professionals playing the game, respect what's on the other side of you. Because I promise you, there are some people that's dedicated their life to being the greatest. And that was one of the things that drove me, man. I wanted to be the absolute greatest. I wanted people to look at me, and I walk around now, and everybody, you know, you only get a couple of responses now, and that is, champ. Champ, because the last time they saw me, I walked away with a Hosting Lombardi trophy. Right? And then the next line, this the most humbling line ever, Doc, is you get the greatest of all time. The greatest of all time. And I'm sitting there, Doc, and you know, you gotta be humble with this, man, because you hear that and you're like, wow. Like, you know, and I told this story before, man, when Lawrence Taylor said that to me, that you're the greatest to ever do it. That's Lawrence Taylor. That's me, man. That's like, and that's where I think your hard work, where you can't see it off the field, where you're sitting in the film room for hours, whether you're up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, whether you sacrifice all of these things and wait to the off season to have a good time, like, that's your reward. Your reward is found in people that watch you. And they pay attention to you, man. And that, to me, I mean, it totally, totally, totally changed my life to hear people say those type of things.
And yeah. You are. And I think when people think about you being untouchable, like, what I love is knowing you and knowing that you did it by hard work. Like, you are a human being. You're touchable. You're a person who's down to earth and knows you do have that humility. But you found that greatness. And you did it by plugging away every single day at the little things, at the boring things. And again, I want to bring that back to all our listeners who may never touch a football. You can do that in your everyday life by plugging away at the little details. That's how you became what you are.
You know, I just responded to an email today about what did football do for me? And let me tell you what football done for me, Doc. Football taught me that you don't have to be the most popular. You don't have to be the biggest or strongest or fastest. You just have to be okay with making you better every day. And that's what I found an ingredient way a long time ago. And it's so simple, but it's really hard. Because the ingredient was just effort. it wasn't be the fastest. It wasn't be the strongest. It was on and off the field, do everything in your power every day to get better. Mm. That's it. That's it. Don't trick this. And that's what life is, right? Life is either you're getting better in life or you're getting worse. Nobody stays the same in life. Mm. And that's what the game of football did for me, is it taught me that I can create my own destiny. I write my legacy by how I prepare. But when I buckle up my chin straps, Doc, that's why when I went out there, I was playing against some kids that was just off pure talent. And I was telling them, I used to look at kids and say, you don't have a chance to win against me because I'm willing to die for this opportunity, right? Just every play, I'm willing to go to give any and everything I have in my body to make you feel me. On Thanksgivings. That was my thing.
And people are still feeling you on Thanksgiving.
I always wanted to be remembered on Thanksgivings. I'm telling you.
You remembered all year round. I still feel the hit you gave me when I held the pads.
Here you go.
That's 4 years ago. I'm still sore. Hey, listen, what you just said about it's simple. It is a simple message, but the essence of life doesn't have to be complex to be effective. Yeah. It's simple to say, do everything in your power to get better, and that effort matters. But that message is profound, because this is what everybody needs to do that's out there in every walk of life. You're right. There's no standing still. My dad used to say this to me all the time. He said, if you think you're standing still, you're actually moving backwards, because everybody else is moving forward. So you're either moving forward or you're not. So doing everything in your power to get better, to me, is a profound statement. When we come back, I want to ask you about some athleticism, because we're seeing some high level of athleticism in these playoffs. So we'll be right back after this. So we're back. I wanted to ask you, and you said you'd come back to it maybe at the end, about this play that Rodgers made. I know it's not about the details of it, but I was just thinking in general, what I've seen you do in the weight room and what you do on the field and what you've done athletically is at a level that the rest of us just haven't touched. And so I was thinking, not only have you done things athletically at this level, but through the years of college and pros, you've seen people do some amazing things. Like, I'm just wondering if there were things that stood out to you, like guys that could throw the ball. I know it wasn't always a quarterback who could throw the ball far, but are there some like athletic things that have stood out to you through the years that you've seen people do, whether lifting or otherwise, that just really stood out to you?
Yeah, I think the thing that honestly, nothing athletically surprises me. It just doesn't, because it's a person's will to try it. If I gave anybody any real key to life, is it's never the workouts that you actually do that you remember. It's the ones that you don't do that you remember. And it's the same thing with athleticism. Like, it's like, try it, man. And that's when you see that these things that, you know, you see these great catches, and you see all of these like opportunities of great runs. And I mean, Ezekiel Elliott makes a spin move last night Clay Matthews. And you're saying, Jesus, you know what I'm saying? You're like, what the heck? Like, who does that?
Right.
Right in the middle of a field. But those are the people who dare to be great, who dare to go that extra step. And I think that's what a lot of great athleticism is. Let me tell you something. I remember seeing this. I'll never forget this, man. We played LaDainian Tomlinson, and I remember watching film, and I saw LT make a cut, a jump cut. And I said, how do you make that jump cut without tearing up both of your knees? I'm like, but if you think about the science of how his body is built, he's already low to the ground. He's so shifty, right? You think about he reminds me of what Marshall Faulk used to do. Mm. Like, if you watch Marshall Faulk was not the most, you know, muscular guy. He wasn't muscular at all. But boy, let me tell you something about shiftiness. There was something special about Falk and his shiftiness, man. And I think I've just always became a fan of people, once again, who would just dare to be great.
Yeah.
Who would try it. Because that's when it happens. That's when the magic, like I finally, for the first time, and I've been retired, 4 years now? For the first time, I went back the other day and actually watched my playoff run in 2012.
Oh wow!
And I'm looking at you. Well, I think it was an unreal feeling, because it's easy to see the uniform, but it's hard to understand the pain that I was enduring. Mm. Like I remember how this brace is on my arm, and my arm is burning.
Oh man!
Every second, every time I hit the ground, there's this hard bolt of just a jolt of just pain. And I'm looking at myself walking, like realizing why I didn't show pain, because I couldn't show my opponents I was hurting. And I definitely couldn't show my teammates I was hurting.
Right.
And once again, I think, forget it all being about what I was going through. I'm just telling you, when people dare to do things, you never know how you will surprise yourself if you push yourself beyond what people say pain is. I believe no pain lasts always, but I also believe that there's glory on the other side of pain if you push through it. And looking back and saw me going through that entire playoff run, I didn't watch them all yet. I only got through the Denver game because I kind of got too emotional understanding the pain that I had to endure, only to help my teammates push through to reach a Super Bowl.
And it mm-hmm. is to me about that. Like, that's fascinating. I love listening to that part about it, because you're right. People didn't know that. You could guess, okay, Ray has an injury, but nobody knew to the extent that when you're hitting it, like when you're hitting the ground, like the pain that you're in, every tackle, the pain that you're in. I mean, there's no way that any of us could have comprehended it. But to be able to do it and not show everybody, I think that's what you gave to your team. That's what uplifted your team, was that you were willing to take on that pain for them.
I went in the first quarter in San Francisco and the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And I remember grabbing Colin Kaepernick, and I wrapped him up, and I spent him when I wrapped him up. And when I hit the ground, this is the first time I'm telling this. I usually don't tell this stuff. But I lost all feeling in my arm for almost a quarter and a half.
Oh my God.
I could not feel my arm. Oh my and I goodness. Was like, how am I going to make it through this freaking game like this? Jeez. I was like, this is crazy, man. And I'm like, I can't tell nobody. And I'm like, okay, Lou. And that's when I think something else started to happen, Doc. And that's why I would love to transition into talk about like what true leadership is, because that's when I started to realize maybe this game isn't about you making all of the plays. Maybe it's just about you encouraging your teammates and being one hell of a leader and being a warrior to die on the field. Just give it everything you got on the field. Mm. And I think that goes back to when I came out of halftime and I was praying, man, and I went to the bathroom, didn't want nobody to see it. And I was crying so bad because my arm was, it was, Doc, I just thought I wouldn't be able to pick my arm up no Jeez. More after I got done. And I walked out and I was hurting so bad. I just was like, I said, Lord, I'm going to just give my strength, whatever little bit of strength I got, I'm going to give it to Jacoby Jones. And he said, just go touch him. He said, just go touch him, Ray. Mm. And I walked over and touched Jacoby, man. And just so happened, bro, this was caught on camera, to where I just took both of my hands and I said, I'm just doing what God told me to do, man. Mm. And I touched Jacoby and I just rubbed both of my hands and I said, I'm giving you every piece of strength I have, man. Wow. And after that man went 109 yards, man. And I'm looking and I'm saying, man, God, you are amazing. Like you, oh my gosh, like I'm like, the impossible is possible. Yeah. Like, because sometimes I think the lesson is, sometimes it may not be for you to do it personally, but you have the inspiration, you have the energy to inspire someone else if you just speak a word in their life. if you give them that extra push of motivation, you may be inspiring somebody to do something that they don't know they can do.
I mean, that's what was your greatness, is making, I mean, on top of doing it, but making everybody around you better. You, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, it's a very few people that do it at that level to make people that much better around you. But that's what you did. And so Jacoby, like when he, tell me, what was it like for him when he came back after that, when you talk, right when, after he scored, when you talked to him?
I really think what happened was, it grew, it made a relationship as men go from teammates to brothers. Mm. Because that's when a man trusts you with all his life. Mm. Like when a man, when you trust a man and you see something before he sees it, but you pour into his gift, a man will die for you. Mm. A man becomes bigger than just a teammate. He becomes a lifelong brother. And still to this day, me and Jacoby, man, JJ, we talk all the time. Every time that man sees me, we have a different respect for each other because of this man gets in that end zone and the old boy, dog, he hit that Ray Lewis dance. Oh boy, he hit that dance, dog. And I'm over there in tears of joy, man, watching this moment happen. And like I said, I think it creates something that people rarely understand. If I was to challenge CEOs, I would challenge CEOs, inspire the people who work for you more than you belittle them. Mm. Because you will never know what they can do for you with inspiration instead of judgmental thoughts, right? And yeah, no matter what the issue is, I think if you empower people, man, they will respond in ways that I think it will be overwhelming.
I really felt a similar way. I'll take this out of sports and into teaching as a professor. I used to feel like if I can create an environment where someone gets an aha moment, they get an awakening, an awareness, some sort of light that they get that they didn't get before. I didn't care if it came from another classmate of theirs. I wanted to create the environment to help have that happen. So just to be a part of that. So from teaching to leadership to organizations to sports, it's preparing the situation, setting people up for success. And really, that's what you did with Jacoby. That's what you did with your entire team. It's what you did with putting your city on your back. It's making everybody around you better. So that's definitely a lesson that I hope our listeners hear, is how to walk away making everyone around me better.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you, I think, you know, when you think about like leadership, true leadership, I think one of the things we don't understand about leadership is like the quality of a leader is reflected in the standards they set for themselves. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember hearing that. I think it was Ray Kroc who said that. But if you think about what that says, like the quality of a leader is reflected in the standards they set for themselves. And so when people see that, they're like, how does he do that? Like, what does that look like? And if you think about what happens, like true leaders don't create followers. They create more leaders,
right?
Right, because that's what leaders do. They make other people say, "I want to do that." Like, I don't want to. I will follow him, but I want to do what he has the ability to do. Mm-hmm. I want to be my own leader, and that's what true leaders do, man. Strong leaders cannot tolerate weak leaders above them. Mm-hmm. Like when you see a strong leader and he has a weaker leader in front of him, man, it'll drive him slap crazy.
Right.
because if he knows, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, that's not how you encourage people. You can't belittle people. It's like sometimes when you see coaches in football, right? They try to say one thing to inspire the team, but then belittle players, right, to make them feel so small. And that's such a terrible way to use leadership, you know, and most of the times people try to use leadership because of a title, you know, a right. job title of I'm CEO and I'm this. It's irrelevant at the end of the day. If you're a leader, then you're supposed to always be in a position of inspiring people and giving them the power of influence and influencing them to make them better leaders.
Right.
Not make them always want to live off your words and understand, oh, follow me and do all this. No, only follow me to become your own leader. That's why I tell people, don't follow me to follow me. Follow me to become your own leader.
Right. Yeah. You want to inspire. Yeah. We want to inspire. That's why we did coaching bad, is look at making coaches wake up to the influence that they have. I see this with parenting all the time. Parents as, because I see parents as leaders. You're the leaders of your family. And for parents to not recognize that, then they're doing more harm than good, because it's their job to inspire and teach their children. That's for everybody. It's why we call this Tackling Life, because this isn't just about business. It's not just about sports. It's not just about, it's about all of it. It's about all of it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I want to come back to, winding down with that message that you gave, because I love that it's simple. But it's something that our listeners can walk away with, which is do everything in your power to get better. From what you said earlier, do everything in your power to get better. And that's something every one of us can do every single day of our lives.
The only reward that I've ever patted myself on the back for, honestly, I've received a lot of trophies. I've received some of the highest awards you'll ever receive on this earth. But the only reward that I've ever pat myself on the back for was just getting up. I said, I found days that my both feet couldn't work. I found pain in my body at times. I had to crawl to the bathroom for over 2 years while I was playing. And when I look back now, And people ask me all the time, do you miss it? And I think what they don't realize is I can't miss it, because I kept getting up. I kept getting up. And there were days, Doc, where I used to question myself and say, what price are you willing to pay? Because sooner or later, you got to live. You got to be able to play with your kids. You know, you got to be able to do certain things. And I tell you, the only thing, I'm going to say it again, and this is to people, the only thing I patted myself on the back was I never gave up. I just kept getting back up, man, no matter how great the freaking pain was. And I think if you're going through something right now in life, if the deck is stacked against you, right? If somebody's told you that cancer is the only way that you're going to leave this earth, if your job has been taken away from you, if you've been hurt in a season or whatever it is, just keep getting up. And I promise you, it'll turn out in your favor. But when we give up, you know, you think about people who commit suicide, and our suicide rates are going so much higher. Let me speak a word into somebody's life who is contemplating suicide. Don't check out yet. Just keep getting up, and you'll figure it out. And I don't have a formula. I have ways to get through a formula, but my formula was simple. And my only way to figure out every formula was to never quit. Was to never quit. Yeah.
I'm not, there's nothing to add to that. I think that's it right there. I just want to support that statement and say that to anybody out there. It is getting up and moving forward. And to hear that coming from you, I mean, that's the message. We got so much. That's why we're doing this together every week, and we'll be back again. If we wind down on something on a lighter note, you have any, predictions for these, games coming up?
I'm going to tell you something. Atlanta is hitting their stride at the right time. I'm pulled in two ways. You know the household situation with Green Bay, and now I got Atlanta. So I'm pulled in two different ways. But Atlanta, with what they have, with the way Matt Ryan is playing football right now, being inside of a dome throughout the rest of these playoffs, as well as the Super Bowl, I think Atlanta, and I'm talking about no matter who it is. I think Atlanta has, they're hitting this stride. When you go to Pittsburgh and New England, if there was one quarterback that I would send into New England to play against Tom Brady right now, it would be Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. If it was one mentality, if it was one culture of mentality that, you know, out of you know, what, the whole playoffs, Kansas City and them, because of what the grit and what they're going to do, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, going in there to play Brady, you know, LeGarrette Blount. I think one of the people that don't get enough credit, and I need to give him so much credit, is LeGarrette Blount. I mean, to see his career turn around, to see what this kid has been able to do in New England. I mean, yeah, Brady is great, and he will be go down as one of the greatest ever, in my book, probably the greatest. But when you talk about, you know, John Elway didn't win a Super Bowl without Terrell Davis.
Right.
And when you think about what LeGarrette Blount has done for Tom Brady's career, I think it's underlooked a lot. I mean, I think it's overlooked a lot.
Yeah.
But that guy, yeah, that guy's gonna be special. And to see him running against Pittsburgh's defense, I think it's gonna be a tough game. I think it's gonna be hard to beat Brady in New England. But if it's one team that can go do it, Pittsburgh is probably the team to do it. So. But as you know, neither one of these teams really sit on the high.
I have to kill you.
So I'm painfully watching the AFC Championship this weekend. But it's Warriors. It's Warriors going at it, man. And so it would be one hell of a game. I think Atlanta, no matter who they see, I think Atlanta will win the Super Bowl.
All right, that's a bold prediction. I don't disagree. I mean, Atlanta's on fire at the right time. I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm only sticking with Green Bay because I think what we're watching with Aaron Rodgers is special, magical. And then obviously I'm gonna go with Steelers. I feel like ultimately you could side with your podcast partner and pick the Steelers. I know it's gonna be.
You couldn't do nothing else but for the Steelers, or you couldn't live there no more.
If what?
If you went against the Steelers, you couldn't live there no more anyway.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't even show my face. I wouldn't go. Hey, I just want to make it clear I am picking the Steelers.
Right.
Because God help it. You could not.
Like I said, I don't know who to pick in that one. That's a toss-up, man. But I do believe, but like I said, whoever sees Atlanta in the Super Bowl – Them boys hitting on a nice stride right now. Yeah,
it's big. It is big. That's a good show. Listen, do everything out there, listeners. Do it exactly what Ray said. Do everything in your power to get better this week. Thank you for downloading the Tackling Life podcast. For more Tackling Life content and information about our guests, please visit tacklinglifepodcast.com. Subscribe to Tackling Life and you'll get 2 all-new episodes automatically downloaded each week. Look, you can become a part of the Tackling Life community by following us on our Tackling Life Facebook and Twitter pages. We definitely want to hear from you, so please reach out. Remember, the number is 646-762-4432. We'd also love for you to take a moment and give us a rating and a review on iTunes. Until next time, for Ray Lewis, I'm Dr. Christian Carter.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.